So, hey guys, thank you so much for coming. If this is your first time, make sure that you fill out, there's a little welcome card in front of you. Make sure that you fill that out. We have a special gift for you. So when you leave, make sure that you pick up your special gift. Also, this is kind of exciting. I don't know if it was just like, if maybe everyone was on the same wavelength this morning, but we have a bunch of food out at the Welcome Center. So we have bread. Tanya brought some bread. We have, someone brought brownies. We also have donut holes. We also have some donuts. And then, ironically enough, Texas Roadhouse stopped in and gave us some rolls and some cinnamon butter and some salad. So make sure that you guys grab some on your way out. So, you know, I feel like it's coming to fruition. You know, in Scripture it says that, you know, the day of Pentecost, they met together in each other's homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Like, we are fulfilling the church. And so make sure that you grab some food on your way out. You know, one of the things that I realized as we continue our series, Won't You Be My Neighbor? Actually, why don't you look to your neighbor and say, Won't you be my neighbor? Now look to your other neighbor and say, Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you be my neighbor? You know, one of the things that I realized when I was on vacation, I flew over to Minnesota, is I realized that there's certain things in my life that I dislike. There are certain things in my life that I might even hate. Anyone else? Anyone else? Are there certain things? Like, I realize that I do not like flying on airplanes. I get nervous. I don't know why. I'm not sure if it's because I'm like 30,000 feet in the air and going at like 600 miles an hour. But I get nervous when I'm on an airplane. I dislike being on an airplane. Another thing that I dislike, I kind of hate, is I don't like roller coasters. I'm not much of a thrill seeker. I'm sorry, I don't like roller coasters. Anyone else like roller coasters? A few of you guys? Anyone thrill seekers? Yeah, over here? Praise the Lord. There'll be some prayer for you afterwards. Another thing that I realized that I do not like is I do not like traffic. In fact, I kind of hate traffic. Oh man, I hate it. I think it's because I grew up out in the country, and where I'm from, you might see one car on the road every 5 or 6 miles. And here, it's like there's cars everywhere, and there's road rage, and the people. Do you guys hate it when the people are in the passing lane and they're going too slow? Oh my goodness, I hate the traffic. You know, another thing that I hate, I don't know if anyone else hates this, but another thing that I hate is I hate when you get the bag of chips and you open it up and it's 80% air. Anyone else? Do you hate that when you open up the chips and it's like 80% air and you're like, I paid $5 for this bag of Doritos, and gets me upset. Another thing that I dislike is I dislike hair in food. Anyone ever had that before? You start eating and you pull out a long, gray, matty hair. Anyone else ever have that happen before? That's something that I hate. Another thing that I hate is I hate people that smell. I do not like people that smell. A lady came into the bank the other day and she had this stench. And I'm not sure if it was her breath or if she soiled her pants. Like, that was how bad the stank was. And so I was trying to be nice, and I was trying to consult with her. But it was like the worst smell in the world. It was a mixture between, yeah, bad breath and poop. It was disgusting. I don't like people that smell. Another thing that I don't like, another thing that maybe I hate perhaps, is I hate when I have to call AT&T and have to work down my phone bill, and they put me on the hold, and then they put me on hold, and regardless, it seems like I'm on the phone at least 30 minutes to 40 minutes, and then I get a hold of someone, and they can't even speak, and I'm trying to talk to them about what I need to do, and they're reading off a script, and they say, Mr. Distad, please turn the button over here. I'm like, I don't understand what you're telling me. I hate that, and I'm on the phone. I hate foreign call centers. I hate running out of toilet paper. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. I hate coffee. Oh, I'm sorry. I hate coffee. Yes! I'm sorry for those of you who like coffee. I don't like Iowa, the state of Iowa. I do not like the state of Ohio. And more specifically, praise the Lord, more specifically, I very much dislike pigeons. Okay? Grew up out on the farm, pigeons with poop over everything. I'd go out there and I'd start shooting them with my pellet gun, and I have two sisters who are vegetarians, and they'd get so upset, but I hate pigeons. I think there's a lot of things, when you think about your life, there's a lot of things that perhaps you dislike. Maybe there's a lot of things that you hate. You know, maybe you don't like traffic. Maybe you don't like Ohio. Maybe you don't like coffee. Maybe you don't like pigeons. Maybe you don't like, I don't know, hair in your food, whatever. But have you ever thought about, you know, maybe there are certain things that you dislike, but have you ever thought maybe there's people that you dislike? People that you hate? People that you despise? People that maybe you would even classify as your enemy? Anyone have any enemies? Anyone? The definition of an enemy is anyone who actively opposes you or is hostile to you. I think your enemy can come in lots of different shapes. Your enemy can come in lots of different sizes. Your enemy can come in lots of different colors, lots of different varieties. But I think if we're honest with ourselves, we would say that perhaps we all have people that we don't like, people that are our enemies. Someone that perhaps knows how to push all of your buttons. I have five sisters, but two of them specifically that we always did not get along well. My oldest sister always knew how to say the right thing at the wrong time. Anyone else have a sibling like that? Like, you could be winning an argument, and they always would go back to that one thing, and they'd push it in your face over and over and over again. My older sister was my enemy. Amen? Thank you. Thank you. And I had a sister that was just younger than me, that was 18 months younger than me, that would always pick the exact opposite of what I liked. So if I said, hey, it's a nice day, she'd be like, no, it's not. It's a bad day. I'd be like, what? I'd say, hey, we should go to McDonald's. She'd be like, no, we should go to Burger King. It's like that annoying little sister. Anyone else have an annoying little sister? Praise the Lord. Can I get an amen? Amen. Enemies come in a lot of different shapes, sizes, colors, flavors. You know, I think to myself, you know, maybe you have someone at work that you might consider an enemy. Maybe a coworker who just always gets under your skin or always goes straight to the boss. Maybe it's a boss where you go to them and you can never do anything right. Maybe you have a friend that was at one time a friend who you thought was a friend who would always, you know, you were hung out together, you seemed like you had a lot in common, and then you found out that they were talking about you behind your back. Have anyone have anyone like that in your life before? My wife, she isn't here this morning. Actually, Bennett is sick, so if you can pray for him. My wife had a roommate in college that she spent a lot of time with, and she found out halfway through her sophomore year that her friend was talking bad about her, like, the whole time. So I think those are the worst. You know, I think enemies are the worst. A lot of times when you think of someone that might be an enemy, it might be someone that is close to you. It's someone that's personal to you, right? Coworker, family, maybe, friend, maybe someone that you used to date, someone that you just despise them now. Enemies. They come in lots of different shapes. They come in lots of different colors. I think people can be mean and people can be cruel. And to be honest, sometimes I kind of pray for a little hotter part of hell for these people. Or I am just like, I cannot wait until they meet their maker and they can experience the wrath of God. Amen? Amen. This is a great sermon. Thank you. But people can be mean and people can be cruel and people can be messy, right? I think Jesus knew this. And in probably one of his most famous sermons, called the Sermon on the Mount, he addressed people like this. He addressed people who were enemies, and he addressed people that were jerks. He addressed people that were haters. He addressed people that were tools. And so check it out. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, I'm actually reading from the New King James Version today. If you don't have your Bible, there's a Bible in front of you in the pew, or you can follow along up on the screen. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Jesus had gone up on the mountain. The multitudes had followed him. He called his disciples over to him, and he gave them this. Really, it's really quite a challenging passage of Scripture. If you actually read through all of Matthew chapter 5, it's humbling. It's really humbling, because as you read it, you really begin to ask yourself, wow, this is pretty intense stuff. I encourage you, if you haven't read it, check it out. But there are six times in the passage where Jesus says, you've heard this, but I say this. You've heard it say, do not murder, but I say this. You've heard it say, do not commit adultery, but I say this. You've heard it said, do not divorce your wife, but I say this. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say this. And so six times in this passage, he he goes and he takes things just a little bit deeper. And how many of you guys know that God is in the business of taking us deeper? Amen? Amen? He's in the business of taking us deeper and deeper. Like, if you're just staying exactly where you're at, and if you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again, like, that isn't what God wants for your life. Like, God wants to take you deeper. Amen? He's calling you from glory to glory. He's calling you deeper and deeper. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, he was talking to these people that they'd been studying the law their entire life, and he was saying, hey, listen, you've been doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, but guess what? I'm going to call you deeper. I'm going to call you into something greater. I'm going to call you into something better. And I think God as well this morning is calling you guys into something deeper, and he's calling you into something better. And so I want to encourage you, if you haven't read Matthew chapter 5, more than likely you have, but if you haven't, I want to encourage you to dive into it and just ask God to open your eyes, because it is a very powerful passage of Scripture. But again, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, Jesus once again said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Man, that's pretty. You've heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward will you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. God, I, again, thank you that we have this time to be in your presence this morning. And I pray right now that you will open our eyes to see what you have for us. I pray that you'll minister to us, Father, in these few short moments that we have together, and that you will encourage us through your word. In your holy name, amen. You know, I think I was thinking through this passage of Scripture. And again, I think we all have enemies, right? We all have people that have hurt us. Maybe we've all had people that have betrayed us. We've had people that have been mean to us. We have people that have been harsh to us. And I was thinking through this passage of Scripture, and as I was praying about it, one of the things that I prayed, and often I pray when I go to the Bible, is, God, will you open my eyes to see things the way that you want them to be seen? Have you ever prayed that before? You know, I think a lot of times these are my wife's sunglasses, so bear with me. Thank you. Thank you very much. A lot of times we have things over our eyes, and it kind of skews our vision, doesn't it? You know, like we're looking through things and we might see them through a different perspective. Or, I got another pair of glasses here. These are even better. These are my daughter's. She actually got mad at me. But a lot of times we look at the Scripture, or a lot of times we look at situations through our own lens, right? And when I read this passage of Scripture, I really prayed specifically, God, open my eyes to see what you have for me. Amen? Because like I said, I know we all have people that we dislike. I know that we all have enemies. We all have people that are mean to us, that are rude to us. There's a couple things that stood out to me when I read this passage. One of the things that I think that I can see is that One of the prayers that we can pray is, God, open our eyes to see God as our advocate and as our judge. Open our eyes to see God as our advocate and our judge. Look to your neighbor and say, advocate. Now look to your other neighbor and say, judge. You know, I think the natural response is when someone hurts us or when someone is mean to us, the natural response to an enemy is hostility. Would you agree with me? The natural response to hurt is to hurt back. Even in the scripture, just earlier in the passage, it's like an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If someone harms you, naturally you want to harm them back. It's interesting because when you look at that first passage of scripture there, where he says, you have heard that it is said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Did you know that hating your enemy actually isn't mentioned anywhere in the book of Leviticus or in the book of Deuteronomy? Hating your enemy, it's not mentioned anywhere there. What had happened, I believe, is if you look at Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, it says this. It says, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love the neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. I think what had happened is the people of Israel had misinterpreted the phrase, the children of your people, to simply mean the Jewish people, which makes sense, right? I mean, that kind of makes sense to me. It makes it a little bit easier to digest. It's easier to love your own people. I think it's easier to love the people that you've been hanging out with for 40 years, right? It's easier to love the people that you have things in common with. It's easier to love the people that are like us, maybe who have the same heritage as us, maybe the same people who have the same background as us, who have the same experiences as us. You know, they've gone through the same ups and downs as us. And then naturally, if we love those people, why don't we hate everyone else? Although it's found nowhere else in Scripture. I believe what they were doing is that they were interpreting the Scripture through the lens of their own prejudices and hurts, right? And on the surface, it seems like this is an easy fix. Love your neighbors, hate your enemies, right? Easy enough, easy fix. But when you think about it, hate is really it's an easy fix, but it is a very destructive force. Do you agree with me? Hate carries a lot of emotion. Hate carries a lot of baggage. Hate carries a lot of hurt. Hate carries a lot of energy. You know, it takes a lot of, it even takes a lot of joy. It takes away a lot of your joy when you hate someone. Do you agree? So on the surface, it seems like it's okay. But I would argue, in fact, that if left unchecked, hatred not only begins to blur and distort your worldview, but it eventually leads to spiritual darkness and complete blindness. I don't know if you've ever been hurt by someone, and it's just consumed you. It's consumed you for a long time. You know, maybe it's someone that you were dating for a while, and then they just dumped you for no reason, and you're just infatuated with that person. You can't seem to drop it. You can't seem to leave it, and it's stealing all of your joy. Right? Maybe you worked for someone for a while, and they were so hard on you that when you left, you doubted your calling and you doubted what you were good at, and you held that with you for a long time. And eventually, that anger turned into hate, and that hate has taken so much of your energy and so much of your joy. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says this: he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Can I give you some encouragement this morning? Maybe you've been holding on to something and you feel like you just need to hold that grudge. God is your advocate, and God is your judge. God is your advocate, and he is the judge. To me, that actually is kind of freeing, Because when I realize, I think sometimes people argue, they say, listen, you know, if God is a just God, well, first of all, they'll say, listen, why would God allow all this evil to happen? Do you guys ever hear that argument against the existence of God? Why would God allow all this evil to happen? But then they are also the same people that will say, I don't believe in a just God, right? For me, I think it gives me some peace in knowing that, again, that someday every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Someday every knee will bow and someday every tongue will confess. In Revelations, it says that one day he will come and he will wipe away every tear. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more pain. There will be no heartache. It talks about the great throne of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Like, everyone is going to have to give an account of what they've done. And so when you can give that up to God, there is incredible freedom in that. Like, when you hold on to the hatred and the hurt and the sorrow, and you feel like you have to be the advocate, you have to be your own advocate, you have to be your own judge, there's baggage in that. But when you can give it up to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, there's freedom. When you realize that he is our advocate and he is our judge, when you realize that there is going to be a day when he's going to wipe away every tear, there's freedom in that, amen? There's freedom in that. There's freedom in knowing that he's going to make the wrongs right. Amen? That's not on you. God is our advocate, and he is our judge. So don't carry the hate with you. Don't carry the remorse with you. Give it up to Jesus. And Scripture says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit through life in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit through life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. I believe loving your enemies frees you from the bondage of hate. That's the first thing that I see. First of all, I think that it's freeing to realize that God is our advocate and that God is our judge. The second thing that I see, the second thing that I've been praying about is, God, open my eyes to see people through the lens of your love. Open my eyes to see people through the lens of your love. You know, I would argue that the world thinks humanity is important, but maybe not even that important. People are important, but maybe not that important. I find it interesting how we've gone to great lengths to prove that there isn't an intelligent designer. We say things started with a big bang 5 billion years ago, and you're here, but it's not really for any real purpose. It's not here for really any. You're here really because of the survival of the fittest. You've evolved and you've evolved and you've evolved and you've, you know, you're here and now that's kind of it. And your value is really based off of what you can give other people or what you can get from other people. Your value is based off of your talents, maybe. It's based off of how much money you have. It's interesting when I look at the culture and I look at the world and how they value life. And to me, sometimes it's kind of disheartening when I look at it. I'm like, wow, that doesn't seem very exciting. But I think when you look at your life through the lens of God's love and through the lens of the Bible, it can change the way that you look at your enemies. It can change the way that you might want to hate people, right? On the sixth day, it says that God came down and out of the dust of the ground, he formed man. And he didn't form him out of he wasn't looking at a tree and trying to copy the tree. He wasn't looking at a dog and trying to copy a dog. But he was looking at himself and making man in his own image. I think that's important to remember. In fact, in Scripture it says that when he sculpted us, it says that we were his masterpiece, that we were his handiwork. Did you know that you're valuable? Did you know that God cares for you? Did you know that he loves you? Did you know that God also loves your enemies? He loves your neighbors. He loves those who are lost. He loves those who are hurting. He loves the people from Iowa. He loves the people from Ohio. He loves the people who leave hair in your food. He loves the people who like roller coasters. It says that God so loved the world. And in talking of the world, it's not talking about, like, just all the good Christian people who are here today. But he so loved the world. He so loved the people outside of the church, the people that are lost and hurting, the people inside of the church too. But God so loved the world. I think when we look at things through the lens of God's love, it can kind of change our perspective a little bit. You know, we might look and we might see someone that's angry and we might see someone that's upset, but if we look through the lens of God's love, I remember there was this guy that I met when I was working at Shopko, which is kind of like a Target over in Minnesota, who was the meanest guy. He was the meanest guy ever. And he was always yelling and cussing and upset, and I was working in the lawn and garden department, and he'd come in and he would just start freaking out and everything else. And so I started praying, God, please provide an opportunity for me to share my faith. God, please provide an opportunity for me to minister to him. God, please provide an opportunity for me to show your love. And one day he was going off and whatnot, and I started talking to him, and I found out that he had gone through a divorce and that the money that he was earning from the job he was using to pay child support. All right, so I don't know. Like, sometimes looking at things through a different perspective, instead of just looking at someone who's angry, like looking at them through the perspective and the lens of God. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11, and actually as the worship team comes back up, it says this. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But God demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Love your neighbor. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God, I pray right now that you will open our eyes. I pray that we'll look through our eyes through the lens of your love, and that we will see you as our advocate and as our judge. God, I pray right now that you will open up opportunities for us. God, I know in your word it says that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. It says that you are the salt of the earth and light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God, I pray right now that you will strengthen us. God, I pray that you will encourage us. Father, I pray that if there are people that have hurt us, God, I pray that we will give it up to you and that we will find freedom in that, God. I pray that we will have the strength to love our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, bless those who curse us. God, I pray that you'll minister to us this morning, God. And as we sing the song one last time, God, I just pray that we will reflect on that. In your holy name.